Welcome back to the Let's Be Friends podcast. This is your host, Kara. It's been a while, a little over a month since I've recorded an episode on here, though I've been recording lots of episodes for the Friendship membership. If you ever feel like you have a craving for Let's Be Friends, I haven't been putting a lot of episodes out in this main feed. I do also have a membership. It's called the Friendship membership. This podcast is ad-free. It's the only way I monetize on it, which keeps the show running. It means a lot to me, and it keeps it commercial-free, so thank you to everybody who's part of the Friendship membership. When you sign up, you get over 50 bonus episodes, and you're going to get 2 to 4 more every month, and it's only $8 a month, and we get to be friends. You also get to come to monthly Zoom hangouts with me and the other friends of the Friendship membership, so it's a really cool thing. I love it. I'm so grateful to be doing this podcast still. It's like 3 years almost after I started it. I started this, I think, May 2021. Who would have thought I would ever have a podcast? Not me. But I love making friends. So let's be friends. And today I want to chat with you kind of a little more just my thoughts about what's going on in the world in general right now, what's been going on in my life. It's been a really busy time. Y'all know I have my memoir, Here Comes Trouble, publishing this month. It's going out to those who pre-ordered the book in 2 weeks. I keep saying in 2 weeks, but there's been some unexpected delays. Like, I had to hire a brand new editor last minute. I had some issues with my previous editor when they said the book was completed. It was not even close to grammatically correct, unfortunately. So I had to last minute hire another final proof editor, and she's working on the book right now. She's doing an amazing job, and I can't rush that process. So once she's done, it's off to layout, off to the printer, and then off to the people who pre-ordered. If you want to pre-order, I sold out the first run, but I decided to do one more because this was pushed back a couple weeks. And the pre-orders are, they're limited edition copies. Are going to have an original cover, and I will be writing a personalized message in the beginning of those. And you will be getting the book probably almost a month before it's dropped to the public. So if you're excited to read Here Comes Trouble, you want to support me and the work that I'm doing, pre-order my memoir at karamosier.com. Or join the Friendship membership at letsbefriendspodcast.com. And if you don't really care about any of that, just keep listening, because this is out here for free. And you can order my memoir when it's dropped to the public in May. And there will also be an audiobook coming out then too. So today, I want to talk about a whole bunch of things, because I've been basically doing a ton of research under the history of this world and like all the strange conspiracies that I've come across, and also my journey into understanding who God is, kind of like walking as a new Christian and discovering that there were all these denominations in Christianity I had no idea about. And then now I've ended up at an Orthodox church, and it really ties in to me researching history, the history we weren't taught in school, and looking at all these crazy conspiracies that come out, or that you start like waking up to when you awaken to this world, when you're basically enlightened and the occult is no longer hidden to you, and you see the synchronicities and you see the patterns and you see that something's a little off here. Well, I kind of feel like I figured out what's going on right now, and I'm at a place where I can start talking about it and putting it all together and sharing it with people. Because a lot of times I feel like I will pray to God about like I prayed to God about psychedelics like a couple of years ago, because I used to do a ton of psychedelics. And I was like, I was seeing the spirit world, God, what was that? Like, was I mind programmed from doing psychedelics? Like, were they dangerous? Are all spirits bad? All the, you know, I have just questions and ask and thou shall receive, like pray as if you already are going to get the answer, and God pours out wisdom generously to those who ask. And over time, I feel like through the Holy Spirit, through studying the Bible and learning more about the spiritual realm, and also the counterculture movement and this whole agenda that's at play with the entire world that I want to discuss in this episode, like this is kind of like tying it all together. God's giving me the answers that I'm asking for. And maybe you're asking for answers too. And that's why we've become friends and we've aligned at wherever you are, however you found me. I'm always interested in how people found me that listen to this podcast. Please reach out, KaraMosier@gmail.com. I'm probably the best way to reach me, but I love hearing the stories about how people found me, at what point in my awakening they found me, because some people found me in 2020 when I thought I was a Galactic Federation member, the most embarrassing thing I've ever felt or thought. And then some of you found me when I was saved by Jesus in 2021, or you heard my testimony, Jesus Christ saved my life. Some of you may have found me, though, when I was doing lives on Instagram telling you how to connect with your light body and astral project. Like, I've been all over the place because I've been through what I thought was at one point a quantum awakening. But it's really just God removing the scales off my eyes and showing me the truth. And I believe God is the truth. And so the more you're ready to see and understand in this world, the closer you end up getting to God. And this episode is going to talk about all of the questions that I've had the last few years and how researching them has now, after this April 8th eclipse, showed me that there is a long, long con going on that I believe was started by the fallen angels when a third of them fell from heaven, followed Satan. What an idiot, right? To leave heaven. Why would you leave heaven and being with God to go rebel and try to like take over this world? Like, all I want is to be close to God. I would never want to leave him now that I feel as though I understand him so much more and have a really intimate, close relationship with him, which we can all have, you know, through prayer. Just start praying to God, start cultivating and forming a relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit will come to you and will start growing that, and you will watch your life change in so many different ways. It's a real thing. But Satan didn't want that. And a third of the fallen angels fell, 33%. Okay, 33 is 33.333333, right? That's one third. It's this three number. This connected to the eclipse, because the eclipse ended in Caribou, Maine at 3:33 p.m. 333 is the number of a demon named Corazon. And I believe that what we just experienced on April 8th was a Corazon ritual. And I believe it started getting planned when these fallen angels fell from heaven a long, long time ago. So this episode, I am going to share with you a bunch of kind of seemingly random topics, but in a chronological order, that come together, that start with these fallen angels and end in Caribou, Maine at 3:33 p.m. on April 8th. And this is just my thoughts. This is my personal opinions. Please look into everything yourself. I am not, like, I don't have all this perfect. And this is just kind of me, Kara, candidly chatting off the cuff with you. I did do an Instagram live the other day with my crazy tinfoil trucker hat on and my tie-dyed sweatsuit and with music playing, and it was all over the place. But sometimes within that chaos, within that madness, that Karos, I love taking my name like Karadice. Welcome to Karadice. I care a lot. The first chapter of my book's called Charismatic. Well, let's add Karos to the mix. So within that Karos, I feel like things kind of expose themselves and you do see the perfection or the patterns within it. And so I'm like chatting on this live and I'm talking about the eclipse because I, you know, it passed over Austin, Texas, and we were in the path of totality at an ironic 1 minute and 44 seconds. And I had a real experience, which I'm going to talk about at the end here. And I also did a poll online because I wanted to find out what all of you felt during the eclipse. And wow, this is crazy, because it literally ties into everything that I'm going to talk about today, and particularly this fallen angels 33%, 33.333, and 333 Corazon. The ritual that I feel happened, I do feel it was a ritual, and I feel like it's been planned since the beginning of time. And I think specifically, though, this long con started in the 1500s. So that would make it about a 600 year ritual. And what I want to kind of present to everybody who is a deep thinker, conspiracy thinker, who's been on this rabbit hole journey with me in what I call the Luciferian Labyrinth, which is another chapter in my book. I've come up with this concept that I'm calling the Luciferian Labyrinth because I believe that Luciferianism is at play right now. It's an enlightenment movement. It's a rebirth, and it's done by Satan in the guise of Lucifer. And we're going to talk about that, where Lucifer comes in the picture, because that's a created egregore, a created concept. We're going to discuss the Royal Academy. We're going to discuss churchianity a little bit more, like Protestantism, how it created all the denominations. I want to discuss the creation of Lucifer and how it made its way into the New Age through the Theosophical movement, and what the New Age is and how that's a psyop. And it's really just the occult, but it's a handling on these methods to normalize them into our society, just like the counterculture movement, which includes Discordians, which was just a later part of this big ritual. And it just all is kind of like becoming clear to me, and really like came together the other day when I was doing this Instagram live. So if you enjoy this episode, this is supposed to be the more organized, rational, normal way of presenting it, because I am going to go chronologically. And if you want the chaos chat, go to Instagram to my Here Comes Trouble profile, and you'll see the picture. I look like a crazy clown with my trucker hat and my tie-dyed suit. I got my music playing. Got like an hour conversation on there with even more in-depth thoughts, and you'll see me kind of like putting all this together. So let's get started. Let's go back to, like I said, the fallen angels fell from heaven, and according to the Book of Enoch, which is an extra biblical text, but I don't believe in sola scriptura anymore. Sola scriptura is the belief in the 66 books of the canon that most Protestant denominations follow, and that's the final authority. And you know, don't go anywhere else. Like that's kind of the mindset where you argue things, and you're like, this Bible verse says so. And that's why it's right. So I actually have shifted from that. I started as somebody who chose to just read and study the 66 books of the Bible the first couple years until I had read the whole thing. And then I thought, well, I'll expand beyond that after. And I'm now at a place where I'm at an Orthodox church and they do not believe in sola scriptura. And actually, I believe the Book of Enoch is actually in the Nigerian Bible. So I don't know. I don't know how much credit to give it. I believe God is the final authority, and that includes the Holy Spirit and its miraculous, mystical, magical ways of communicating with us. And maybe the Book of Enoch is really, some of it is helpful because it makes sense. Like, because the Bible, it starts at Genesis and God tells us how he created this world, and we start getting some of the history of this world. But what we don't get is the backstory before the fallen angels fell. Like, we know Satan fell. We know a bunch of the angels followed him, and that many of them are chained up and, you know, or chained under the Euphrates. I think it's the Euphrates River. Some of them are in the sky. Some of them are in, I think, Hades. Again, I have some of my details wrong on that, but we know they're fallen angels that fell with Satan. But why did they fall? Like, what happened before that? Like, you know, Satan just fell for no reason. There's more to the story. So Book of Enoch may be part of that, you know, like that time before. This is also why I don't just believe in sola scriptura, because I'm like, well, there's got to be more to the Bible than just God started this place and then Adam and Eve. And then because this whole story of the fallen angels and Satan falling, I hope that makes sense, that like there has to be a backstory from before they fell. And that's not included in the Bible. But we do. So when we look at some extra biblical things, we look at, you know, use the Holy Spirit, we pray, we fast, we can get answers. And it really makes sense to me that these fallen angels are these disembodied spirits, which are demons, and they communicate with us through channeling, through magic practices, occult practices. And the Egyptians, were utilizing the fallen angels, and they ended up creating this book called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which is tons of magic rituals, incantations, and basically a lot of the first methods for mind programming and handling people. And I do believe that the biggest magic trick that is being played is mind programming. I don't think magic is pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I think magic is like what happened in 2020, getting the world to shut down for a possibly made up virus, you know, or not getting people to see what actually happened on 9/11. Occult means hidden. So the truth sits in plain sight, but they occult it and they hide it. And I think that they do that through distractive methods of mind programming and pharmakia. Today, it's very obvious how people are mind programmed: the TV, the news, the nanoparticles in the air, the pharmaceuticals, the pharmakia, which is sorcery that people are taking. I do believe that the Egyptians were using these methods on the Israelites at the time when God rescued them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And that's one of the first stories we hear about in the Bible in Exodus. And we have Moses who delivers the Israelites. And it's an amazing story. And I love it so much. Like, I do believe the Bible is the most amazing book I've ever read. I've never reacted the way I have reading anything else. And I've truly felt the Holy Spirit while I'm reading it, and it's changed my life. So though I don't believe it's the final authority, I believe God is the final authority. I think the Bible is an absolutely amazing book, the most amazing book that exists. So God had to deliver the Israelites from Egypt out of slavery. And slavery, to me, when I think about it today, I think of, you know, the black people who came from Africa on slave ships and came to the United States and ended up working as slaves, because that's what we were taught as what slavery is in America. But it also is something that happened all around the world and all throughout time, nothing new under the sun. But I don't believe that the only type of slavery is slave labor, like physical labor. I believe that we can be enslaved in our minds, and actually that our mind is the ultimate prison cell and cage. And even mind programming is to compartmentalize the mind, like to honeycomb it, like that shape that you see on a fence that's, you know, like a metal fence or in a bee honeycomb. And that's like a cage. It's also a hexagon, very deep. That ties to Saturn and the hexagonal storm on Saturn. It ties to the Tesseract, which is a container that's used in magic. So I do believe they're containing our thoughts, and I do believe that that is a form of slavery. And this is my belief, that this was happening in Egypt when God delivered the Israelites. It wasn't just because they were doing physical slavery labor. It was that they were mind-controlled, because it's the Egyptians, it's so obvious that they were practicing magic, and they were working with these fallen angels in the spiritual realm, and they were channeling them, and that never stopped. That we're going to talk about John Dee in the 1500s and how he channeled Enochian magic, and we're going to talk about Aleister Crowley and how he channeled Iwas and Lam in the 1900s, and even today. I mean, I started working as a channeler. Like, when I took psychedelics, like, I was channeling spirits. I was working as a medium. Like, I did a lot of this, most of it, not even realizing what I was doing or that it was real. Like, that I thought it was just psychedelics. But I know, like, part of why I'm so certain on that this is involving the spiritual realm, this long, long con that's going on in this world, is because I know the spiritual realm is real. I know how real it is. I know how it communicates. Like, I did it for over a decade, and I saw it. I saw what it did to me. I know how this stuff works from personal experience. I never actually studied the occult. I just naturally knew how to do it, which is kind of scary, but I'm a highly, highly sensitive person, and I think sensitivities are what connects you with the spiritual realm. But knowing that the spiritual realm existed from my very firsthand experiences with it, and then waking up after coming off pharmaceuticals, because I was misdiagnosed bipolar for almost a decade, and I was 30,000 pills over 8 years. Like, I went to sleep. I know pharmakia is sorcery. I know it because I lived it. And I came off of that. I woke up in 2020 and I woke up to the mind programming. The spell started breaking. I do feel I was illuminated and enlightened. And that is how I realized that there is a Luciferian agenda going on as well. And then I became a believer in Jesus. I wasn't before. So I also was brought to God that way. I was always a believer in God, but that brought me very close to God. No, you have to know who Jesus, like, I really believe you need to know who Jesus is to get all the way to God. And because I personally went through all of these different, what I call is like sectors of the Luciferian labyrinth personally, like, I'm like, yeah, this long con mind programming conspiracy trap is very real. And how did this happen? Well, it's been the same thing since the dawn of time. Just as Solomon tells us, there's nothing new under the sun. And this trick, I think, started in Egypt when the Egyptians started channeling these fallen angels and they wrote the Book of the Dead. And one of the beings and deities that they worshipped was Osiris, Isis, and Horus. And I believe that all of this is an Osiris, Isis, and Horus ritual. I even think that that ties to Kennedy's assassination and Princess Diana's assassination. I actually believe that's an Osiris, Isis ritual as well. We've had a lot of these kind of like repeating throughout time, but basically Osiris was the king of Egypt and Isis was his queen, and his brother Set was jealous and murdered Osiris and cut him up into 14 pieces. Isis went to collect all these pieces because she was heartbroken that Osiris was murdered and she wanted to bring him back to life with necromancy, sex magic, but she couldn't find his penis. So she instead created an obelisk to put in its place so that she could perform her sex magic ritual. And that's where the obelisk comes from. The Washington Monument is a 555-foot obelisk, which is 6,666 inches in Washington, D.C., that sets into the Capitol Dome every night. Like, it's set up that way. It's a sex magic ritual. A rocket shooting to the moon is the same type of thing, a sex magic ritual. And it all, like, it stems from this Isis Osiris sex magic ritual that the Egyptians believed and worshipped Osiris and Isis. And when Isis performed this ritual on Osiris, she brought him back from the dead and it birthed Horus. Horus is also who we see as this left eye of enlightenment. You've all seen that little eye. It's called the Inget eye. And so Horus was birthed from the sex magic ritual, and then Set plucks out Horus's left eye. And that is why I think that we see this black eye club. There's something about something happening to that left eye when you're enlightened with the occult secret knowledge, which I do believe ties back to Garden of Eden. When Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, she wasn't supposed to. God said, you can do anything but that. I think she was doing what the Egyptians were doing, what Aleister Crowley did, what John Dee was doing, channeling and connecting with the spiritual realm, eating from their knowledge. I don't think she didn't eat an apple. A lot of people think Eve ate an apple in the garden. No, she didn't. It doesn't say that. It says fruit. But the word fruit is used all throughout the Bible in lots of non-literal ways. So, you know, that would be fun deep dive into the Hebrew and the back meanings. But I personally believe that when she spoke to the snake, Satan, which actually is also considered Corazon, which is going to tie into more details that I believe this ritual was. And I believe that divination with the spiritual realm, which God warns us about so strongly throughout the Bible, is because he doesn't want us to listen to the spiritual realm because they're liars. They hate us. They're the fallen angels that fell from heaven. We don't have the backstory, but they literally followed Satan to rebel against God. And they don't have bodies. We have bodies because we were made in the image of God. And they're trying to use us to take over this world. And that's what this long, long con is part of. And so when Osiris rose from the dead, he had his arms crossed over his chest in an X. So that means Osiris rising, it's like a rebirth thing. And then what comes out of that rebirth? Birthing Horus, baby Horus. And Horus is the left eye of enlightenment, that left eye club, that hidden secret knowledge. It is by no coincidence that NASA sent 3 rockets at the eclipse, and those rockets were called the APEP project, which was the atmospheric pre-tribulations around the eclipse path, something like that. APEP. And APEP is like apophenia. It actually derives from that word. And apophenia is when you start seeing synchronicities everywhere, and it's the first stage of schizophrenia. And I do believe that the ritual here is to make us all feel crazy and to not know what the truth is anymore, because in order to rewrite the truth and to make themselves God, or to make reality what they being the fallen angels, what they want, they do need to fracture our minds. And that's part, you know, this mind programming, this handling that the Egyptians, I believe, were doing, and that's been being done throughout time. Well, NASA sends these 3 rockets, you know, at the eclipse. This literally reminds me of an Isis, Osiris, Horus ritual, because it's an unholy trinity. There's 3 of them. That also ties to this demon Corazon, who the logo for Corazon, like, is, it looks like the radiation sign. It looks like 3 triangles. And I do believe that, well, there could have been some radiation that came off of this eclipse. And I will explain that more in the end of this episode. But when I heard that NASA was going to send these rockets up during the eclipse, I was like, whoa, okay, there's so much X symbolism regarding this eclipse. It's called the Great American Eclipse, or the X eclipse, because it makes an X with the 2017 eclipse that passed through the United States, and it X's at a town called Little Egypt. Well, this ties us right back to Egypt and that time when God delivered the Israelites out of slavery. It ties us back to the Egyptians who were first channeling and working with the fallen angels, creating this mind programming technique that I believe is still being used today. And Egypt was also considered Babylon. Some consider it Babylon, and it was basically kind of, I guess, like the world is today, where people had forgotten about God. They were just off partying and having fun and not paying attention to what was important. So I also think that this is a rebirth ritual to rebirth Atlantis and to rebirth Babylon. Let's say Atlantis existed before the Great Flood happened, before the deluge. It does make sense that they would try to recreate their golden time, you know, the Enlightenment era. And this ritual that I have kind of put together for the last 500 years literally includes the creation of the New Atlantis, which Francis Bacon wrote. And I believe the New Atlantis is the United States. And this ritual with an X marks the spot over Little Egypt in the United States all seems like a rebirth ritual for the fallen angels just trying to take over this world, as they have been since the dawn of time, since the Tower of Babel had to fall, since God flooded the earth, since God delivered the Israelites. It's nothing new under the sun. And this is also why we need Jesus, and we needed Jesus to come. And we are going to now take this conversation to Pentecost and talk about when the church started, talk about what happened when Jesus came, and then we're going to walk into the history of the church, and then we're going to talk about John Dee and Queen Elizabeth and the work they did. John Dee was the original 007. He worked with Sir Francis Bacon, who wrote the New Atlantis, and that will tie into the creation of the Royal Academy and the Jesuits and the Gregorian calendar, the heliocentric model, then the Protestant Reformation and Martin Luther, and the books being pulled out of the Bible, and sola scriptura being created, and futurism. I'm going to go into all sorts of details on all of this. This is probably going to be a long conversation, because then we even need to talk about Pope Gregory and the creation of egregores and the way we see Satan today. I believe they're recreating the satanic panic as part of this giant ritual. And they're utilizing Hollywood for that, because we had the Illuminati formed. And how was the Illuminati formed, and where? And that Illumination group was formed right around the Theosophical movement, which was created by Helena Blavatsky in the 1800s, which was a kind of religion or group that believed in Lucifer, the light bearer, was here to illuminate and enlighten us all and save us all from evil God. And then we have the creation of false doctrines like the rapture, created by John Darby in 1830. Turns out Aleister Crowley, the occult ritual magician, was in this, grew up in the same cult as John Darby. And then Aleister Crowley did what John Dee did what the Egyptians were doing when they were channeling the spiritual realm. They all channeled the spiritual realm, got information, did rituals, and I think that they were doing it for their own selfish desires, but truly it was always for the fallen angels, for this giant ritual that we're at right now today. All right, here we go. Off to Pentecost. Okay, so Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down like a really strong wind upon Mary and the apostles and the 120 in the upper chamber. So after Jesus died, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost, and Pentecost means the 50th day of the Passover, or 49 days after Passover. It was called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. The 49-day rule is given in Leviticus 23:15. Therefore, it was exactly a period of 7 days from when Jesus went to heaven to when the apostles received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Because after Jesus died and resurrected, the apostles, you know, they were told to stay in Jerusalem until Pentecost, so that'd be 50 days. And the time they waited is not explicitly given. But we know that Jesus died on the day of Passover and was resurrected 3 days later and then appeared to his disciple over a period of 40 days, in which included the day he was resurrected. So he ascended to heaven 42 days after Passover. And then the 50th day was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down onto the apostles and the 120 in the upper chamber. And that's when they started being able to speak tongues, which simply means other known languages of the time, because they were sent off to tell the whole world the good news of Jesus and to share, you know, how to be saved and salvation. And because of the Tower of Babel falling and everybody speaking one language, like, it split the languages into tons. And that's why I believe the part of why the Holy Spirit came down and filled the 120 in the upper chamber, and they were sent off to basically start the church. And that is the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church believes that they are the continuation of the ancient Orthodox Christian Church that we trace back to the apostles and Christ, Jesus, and that the church was formally established on the day of Pentecost. So the one undivided church is said to have begun on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Already by the 4th century, the term Orthodox Christian was used to designate those Christians who remained faithful to the totality of the teaching of Jesus Christ and his apostles, as opposed to those who were known as heretics, who promoted false doctrines and beliefs. The term Orthodox means correct believing or correct true glory. Due to a variety of complex circumstances, the Western Church, known today as the Roman Catholic Church, split from the Eastern Orthodox Church. The Roman Catholic Church sees it the opposite way, that the Orthodox Church broke away from them. But the Orthodox believe they are the continuation of the ancient Orthodox Christian Church, and they trace their history back to Christ and the apostles. And the church was formally established on the day of Pentecost, and that the Roman Catholic Church placed itself outside of fellowship and broke off communion in the 11th century. So this is huge to me, because as a new Christian, I had no idea there were different denominations. I didn't even know that Roman Catholicism was Christianity. And if you've been following me, you know that I got into the charismatics and didn't realize it, believing in the deceptions of deliverance, and then kind of fell into some sort of Calvinistic or cessationist beliefs, kind of swung to the other side of the pendulum, and then found a Bible church, and it was more in the middle, and really enjoyed that and stayed there for like a year. But then I started researching the history of the church, and it took me back to Pentecost, to this, and to the Orthodox Church, and I had to check that out. That is also where I got my answer on Sola Scriptura, is the Bible the final authority? Well, for 300 years after Jesus and Pentecost, the apostles and the disciples of Christ kept the oral tradition alive before the Bible was put into full canon. So it really showed me that, like, okay, for 300 years, like, the Bible could never have been the final authority. There wasn't even one. And oral tradition actually was keeping the word alive by these saints and these church fathers who I started studying as well, who, when I was in a Protestant church, which Protestant is the Western, what an Orthodox would say, heretic denominations, the 40,000, because how can there be 40,000 and be one truth? It's just the same exact thing I was seeing when I was in the quote-unquote New Age, where someone would say, well, my truth is this, and your truth is that. Well, if you have a truth and I have a truth, they cancel each other out. Like, there can only be one truth. And so to me, and all the things I uncovered and discovered with looking into history and conspiracies the last few years, I realized you want to go to the root of the problem or the root of the issue. You want to ask questions, because what got me in trouble, and I think most of us, is that we were put in indoctrination schools for 12 years, longest unpaid job we've ever had, 40 days a week, 5 days a week, never paid, mind programmed. And we got in trouble if we asked questions. You were given tests where you have to answer things the way they say it's right. Well, you come to find out, we've been taught a lot of lies. And I'm going to explain where a lot of that came from in the 1600s, when I do believe that this long con done by the fallen angels, like, really took root here. And so I started questioning Christianity as well. And it took me to Orthodoxy. And I want to get as close to the truth as possible. And to me, God is the truth. And that's honestly, like, my goal in life now, is just to be as close to God as I can until the day I die and he takes me and I can be with him. So we have Pentecost, we have the Orthodox Church started, and then by the 11th century, we have a little bit of schisms happening with the Catholic Church. And then in 1054, we actually have the Great Schism, where the Roman Catholic Church, like, completely, like, split off from the Orthodox Church, and in the 11th century. So if you're a conspiracy person, you are probably questioning the Catholic Church. I questioned the Catholic Church before I was what I would consider a conspiracy theory person, because I remember all of the priests sexually abusing kids. Like, when I was little, I remember hearing about that. And, like, my friends who went to Catholic school, like, hated it. They were, like, had their wrists slapped by nuns. And my friends that had to go to CCD, which is, like, Catholic teachings or learnings, they called it Children's Catholic Dungeon. Like, something weird about the whole thing. It didn't feel right to me. And the Pope being the head of the church, and the audience hall in the Vatican, literally, it was designed like a snake's head with, like, two eyes on the side. And then, like, whatever is behind the Pope when he talks is, like, just so demonic looking. Like, there's so much there tied to the Vatican and Rome and the Catholic Church. And then, so, like, here are some comparisons on what happened when the Roman Catholic Church split from the Orthodox Church. One of the most obvious things is that the Pope became the head of the Roman Catholic Church, and Jesus Christ is the head of the Orthodox Church. I mean, think about it. Jesus lived and was here and started it. And then there's something called apostolic succession, where every father in the church has been blessed by an apostle or a disciple that was connected to Jesus. So there's, like, this lineage of blessings for the priests and the fathers in charge of the Orthodox Church, and all leads to Jesus. Well, in the Roman Catholic Church, you have the Pope. When you do the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is where you start your forehead and you go down to, like, your chest and to your right shoulder, your left shoulder, in the Orthodox Church, this is something I just learned, that is considered a blessing. You're blessing yourself every time you do it. So if you want a blessing, do it right now with me. Forehead, Father, stomach, Son, right shoulder, Holy Spirit, left shoulder. The Roman Catholic Church swapped that. And instead of going from right to left, go from left to right. This is super weird to me, because it feels like an inversion of what was originally created. And Hebrew, the language Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in, is read from right to left. So the blessing, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit cross you make over your body in the Orthodox Church goes from right to left. The Roman Catholic Church changed it from left to right. Just weird stuff, okay? Like I said, the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. They have what they call the Immaculate Collection. They worship kind of worship, I guess, Mother Mary in a completely different way than the Orthodox Church does. And what I could go on and on about these differences, but I believe this is part of this long con because, of course, Satan and the fallen angels want to hide the truth. And I do believe that Orthodoxy is that first church that's closest to what Jesus created. And then 1,000 years later, you have this schism where the Catholic Church separates and changes some really key things. And I do believe that this was starting to set in play what would happen in 500 years with Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, which was meant to create even more denominations, which is even more confusion and chaos, hiding the truth, which is God. Because like I said, this long con is literally, I believe, to fracture reality so bad that nobody knows what the truth is anymore. And I do believe God is the truth. God is love. And he shows that to you when you're ready, as you can see that. So they can't erase that, but they can change this world and they can manipulate this world. And a great way to do that is through the church. So after the Great Schism of 1054, I'd say for like the next 500 years, like I'm not exactly sure like the specific things that happened. I know you can look into the lives of the saints and you can get a lot of history there to see that people were martyred and killed, keeping the word alive for us today. But the next big thing I want to talk about in what I'm seeing as this like really immaculate plan that the fallen angels, that started with the fallen angels falling from heaven, and then Jesus had to come to establish the church to bridge us back to the Father in heaven and basically offer us a redemption way out of here, because it's this big giant mind programming trap, this big giant spell that's been cast upon humanity to get us to forget the truth. And the next big phase is when we had this, we had the Egyptians that were channeling the fallen angels. They got the Egyptian Book of the Dead. They learned how to mind program people and control people. And then the next big thing is John Dee and Queen Elizabeth. So who was John Dee? John Dee is considered the original 007 from the work that he did with Queen Elizabeth, because he would actually sign his name like two circles symbolizing his own two eyes and indicating that he was the secret eyes of the queen. And then the two circles were guarded by what may have been considered a square root sign or an elongated seven. And for D, seven was a sacred, Kabbalistic, and lucky number. Why was he considered John Dee? Well, he was a mathematician. He actually believed that numbers ruled the world, very much like people that believe in gematria or the Kabbalah. He was an astronomer. He was an occultist, an alchemist. He was the court astronomer for and advisor to Queen Elizabeth I, her 007, and spent much of his time on alchemy, divination, and hermetic philosophy. He had one of the largest libraries in England at the time. He was a political advisor to Queen Elizabeth, advocating for the foundation of English colonies in the New World to form a British Empire. That is where this all ties back to Francis Bacon, who I was mentioning earlier, who wrote The New Atlantis, which was like this blueprint for making this new world happen in the Americas, which is, I believe, this rebirthing of Atlantis and Babylon. And a little fun fact about Francis Bacon, he's supposedly the ghostwriter for Shakespeare. Shakespeare's works are full of ciphers that, like, I guess, like, Shakespeare himself wouldn't have known. He didn't even have the intelligence, I guess, for it. But guess who was all into ciphers? John Dee. And we know that Francis Bacon was connected with John Dee. Something to mention about John Dee before we get into kind of the work that he did specifically with Queen Elizabeth with divination, that I'm kind of connecting to the work that the Egyptians did with the fallen angels a long time ago. Dee was an intense Christian, but his religiosity was influenced by Hermeticism and Platonic Pythagorean doctrines that were pervasive in the Renaissance time. He believed that numbers were the basis of all things and the key to knowledge. John Dee believed that man could have the potential of a divine power that could be exercised through mathematics. His goal was to bring forth a unified world religion through the healing of the breach of the Roman Catholic and Protestant churches to recapture the pure theology of the ancients. You guys, this is insane because this ties right into this being one huge long con that even has to do with the church. And again, I'm going to say Orthodoxy is the first church. It's the closest to Jesus. Everything that happened after that is part of this con. And the schism of the Roman Catholic Church was a huge piece of it. It was meant to happen. It was meant to pervert things. It was meant to upset and create the Protestant Reformation. And so now we're at that time period in the 1500s and the 1600s, which we're starting with John Dee. And this is going to take us into the creation of the heliocentric model, when the theology schools started teaching futurism, when the Protestant Reformation happened, and the concept of Lucifer was seeded. And John Dee wanted to help heal this like unification of all these churches that had branched off by unifying them. But there was no need to do that because the Orthodox Church has stayed the same ever since. Like everybody schismed off, but the Orthodox Church was like that train that Jesus started and it just stayed on the same track. So what John Dee is wanting to do and desire, which is the same thing that the New World Order wants to desire, it's the same thing we're seeing the Pope do, trying to bring everyone together. Or everybody who's like, the Mormons are like, oh, we can have our truth on the Bible, and then the Charismatics have their truths on the Bible, and the Roman Catholics have their truths, but let's all come together and compromise. And what? No, that's going to be the false doctrine of demons, of the fallen angels. So this is where things get kind of wild, because John Dee started doing the Enochian channelings. So basically, John Dee did what the Egyptians did to get the Book of the Dead. It's the same thing Aleister Crowley did when he summoned Lamb and Iwas. Unfortunately, it's the same thing people are doing today when they're trying to channel spirits. I mean, I was doing this on psychedelics. Like, I was communicating with spirits as a channeler. Like, it's a real thing. And that's part of why I'm taking this so seriously as I talk about it. I know this is, like, for some of you, maybe, like, you've never channeled spirits, and don't, you shouldn't. Like, I have not done it once since Jesus has come into my life for years. Like, we are not supposed to be talking with these fallen angels because they're here to deceive us. And that's exactly what they did to John Dee. So he was going to them to get information to, you know, advise and guide Queen Elizabeth. And he actually channeled a being called Khorasan. It's the demon that originated in the writings of Edward Kelly and John Dee within the occult system of Enochian magic. So he worked with this guy named Edward Kelly as well. But John Dee is the one I'm really focused on because he was directly connected to Queen Elizabeth as her 007. And so in this Enochian channelings, it's believed that like the ciphers on the keyboard came out, which the keyboard would lead to the computer. There's a lot of theories, and I've talked about it a lot, especially with Nick Hinton, about how the Antichrist can work through energy, and AI is basically an avatar of it. And so it makes sense that the computer, which would have a daemon program and running it, which is the same way that demons, I think, run us as a program in our mind through the strongholds that are set in there, the lies that they place, like the lies that John Dee picked up. Some of the lies that he learned from these angels were that they had a language that was actually the prototype of Hebrew, like that language that God spoke to Adam, and that Hebrew wasn't the original language. They also started telling him secrets to do things like create the Philosopher's Stone. They were giving him keys to godlike wisdom and eternal life. This is what he believed. And this is, I hate to say it, this is the same kind of crap like the fallen angels were telling me. They told me I was going to receive 13 keys, and I did. Like, I saw these things come to me, and my mind started changing. Like, it's mind programming. I truly believe magic is not pulling a rabbit out of a hat, but it is mind programming someone and getting them to believe something. And that is exactly what these fallen angels did with John Dee. This is exactly how the fallen angels use us to do their works, because if they need vessels to do the physical work here, like John Dee helping Francis Bacon be inspired to write the New Atlantis and helping the Queen take over the new world, and John Dee having this desire to bring all the religions together. These were the fallen angels' ideas. You know, like he thought he would, like Eve was doing something good, but he was not. And this is just another step that I believe that the fallen angels were taking to rebirth what they've been trying to do the whole time. Like they tried it with Atlantis. They tried it with the Tower of Babel. They tried it with Babylon. They're trying to be God and they're trying to erase the truth. So after we have John Dee and Queen Elizabeth's work, we have Sir Francis Bacon and the New Atlantis. The New Atlantis was basically the blueprint being used to create America today, to start this new land. And Francis Bacon was doing that at the same time that the Royal Academy was created. It's basically a lot of different Royal Academies, but they're all connected together with the Jesuits. And the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, was founded in 1540, so this is the same time period, by Ignatius of Loyola. And the Jesuits basically like were the secret society that like preceded the creation of the Illuminati by Adam Warsop. That was in 1776, I think he created the Illuminati. And then prior, you know, about that time, like the Masonic system was already set in place and they had all these locations. So the Illuminati kind of like melded with the Masonic system just for being able to reach more people and for convenience sake. But the Jesuits and the Royal Academy, this is when like a lot of interesting thoughts came out, like the concept of gravity and like the apple falling on Newton's head. And I don't know, did an apple really fall on Newton's head? Like, apple is the logo for Discordians, and Discordians create chaos. They worship the goddess of chaos, and the golden apple is actually their logo. And I think that's why there's an apple on the back of our phone. I think that's why an apple fell on Newton's head. And I think that's why everybody thinks that Eve ate an apple in the Garden of Eden when it was just fruit from the forbidden tree. And I actually like believe maybe there was a tree and she ate some fruit, but I really think it's standing for communicating through divination with the spiritual realm and getting information from them, just like John Dee did, just like the Egyptians did, just like people have been doing throughout time, and it's gotten them in trouble. So we have also the heliocentric model pushed by the Royal Academy that we, you know, worship. We revolve around the sun, and the sun's 93 million miles away, and we have endless universe, and quantum physics kind of comes out, and quantum physics is really just a Kabbalistic teaching that's connected with science, and science in Latin means is a lie. That's pretty mind-blowing, or is not true, is what it means, and Latin is the language of Rome, and the Jesuits, and It's interesting because all paths kind of do lead back to Rome. So we have this infiltration of the education system starting with the Jesuits pushing their scientific theories of the world, the globe model, everything really pushed at that time. I also believe this was the time when the way prophecy was seen and like the world events, how things had gone, started shifting, because we have, when you think about end times and where we are, end times started after Jesus died. So we've been in end times a long time. When you look at prophecy, really like historically, most of the prophecies have already happened. Now Jesus hasn't returned, so it's not complete, but there are three main beliefs on looking at end times. It's preterism, which the Jesuits believe, which says that all prophecy was fulfilled before 400 AD. Historicism is that the prophecies are being fulfilled. And then futurism is they are to be fulfilled. So at this time, the concept of futurism started being taught in theology schools. This reminds me of how Rockefeller infiltrated the medical system in the 1950s in the United States. If you know about that, prior to Rockefeller medicine and petroleum-based pills, natural medicine and homeopathy was the norm. And even when it came to mental health issues, it was believed that it was like spiritual oppression or like demonic even possession or oppression that was based upon people with mental health issues. And I really do believe the spiritual realm shows it to us through our sensitivities. Like that's just how it can exist because it's not physical. And so people who were more sensitive probably were being, I mean, I say this as somebody who's super sensitive, who has experienced a lot of the spiritual realm and has been affected by it. I had the bipolar diagnosis, and people even with the schizophrenic diagnosis, I think they're seeing the spiritual realm. I think people with huge emotions are being kind of handled by the spiritual realm, and that's how they do it. But then in the 1950s, we had like bipolar and medications for it, and all of these mood disorders that never existed before. And we have the mental hospitals, and all this crazy stuff happened because we had Rockefeller infiltrate the medical system. It's also when he created the National Cancer Institution. And what he did was only provided financial assistance to universities and hospitals that taught his medical program. I believe they invented cancer. Honestly, I think they created cancer. I really do. And this is Rockefeller's infiltration. He even started the National Cancer Institution. And the same thing happened with the theology schools, with the Jesuits during this time, because, you know, if you lived during the time, you would have known that all these prophecies had already been fulfilled, like Daniel's 70th week. And though, as like I said, the long con by the fallen angels is to erase history, is to fracture our minds with chaos and discord to mind control us, because that is literally how mind programming works. Get them in, it's like the caged bird sings of a freedom it doesn't know. So get somebody trapped in a mindset where they can't think beyond that, well, they're enslaved into the knowledge that they have, the limited knowledge. And if you don't have God guiding you and bringing you to all wisdom, and you're praying to him and you're fasting and you're having a relationship and a communion and you're doing what Jesus showed us to do, you're going to be trapped. So I consider myself a historicist because I do believe that most of these prophecies have been fulfilled, but not all of them. I mean, Jesus hasn't returned. But futurist is the concept that I first fell into, futurism, where the Antichrist is on his way. He's going to be a military figure. They're about to rebuild the third temple. All this stuff happening in the Middle East is prophecies being fulfilled. Everything going on right now. We're in the last days of end times. The Antichrist is about to rise up on the scene. But that was what I was taught when I was being taught conspiracy Christianity from someone who was a charismatic, but said she wasn't. It was very confusing, the whole thing. Like, I don't think conspiracy and Christianity, like, study the Bible without looking for signs of the giants. Study the Bible without proving that the fallen angels mated with the sun, with women, and the Nephilim are here. Like, maybe all that's true, right? Probably. But read the Bible looking for signs of Christ and salvations. Like, read the Bible praying to God to guide you to all wisdom, not conspiracy. That's not wisdom. Conspiracy, that's knowledge. That's knowledge of this world. I think that's the same kind of stuff, really, that comes off that tree of knowledge, that rotten fruit. Because these conspiracies are like the carrots, like following the white rabbit, or the rabbit being pulled out of the hat, catching your attention into the rabbit hole, which is one of the entrances to what I call Luciferian's labyrinth. I also believe the spiritual realm, taking psychedelics, takes you into Luciferian labyrinth. I think that churchianity and all of these false denominations, the thousands of them, can take you into Luciferian's labyrinth. And there's a reason it's called Lucifer's labyrinth, because at this time, we also had the concept of Lucifer seated, and it really got seated through the King James Bible. So this same teacher who was teaching me futurism, that end times is here, and this is the last 10 years, and everything's tying up to Agenda 2030. Don't you see it? Like, doing slideshows in her Bible study, showing the military, like, general coming, and the two witnesses, and all this stuff, and who do you guys think it's going to be? It's like, that's futurism. People thinking about the rapture coming, the pre-tribulation rapture. No, there will be no pre-tribulation rapture in my mind, because I believe tribulation's mostly already done, and the rapture pre-trib was created by someone named John Darby in 1830. And we're going to discuss that here in a little bit. But right now, I just want to say that I do believe that futurism, which was just like Rockefeller's infiltration of medicine, getting rid of the homeopathic medicine for petroleum-based pills and diagnoses and medicines, the theology schools were at the 1600s infiltrated by the Jesuits on purpose. This ties to John Dee wanting to unify all the Protestant and Catholic, you know, groups together. This is one world religion, one world order. That's what the fallen angels' ultimate goal is, because they want to be the number one. They want to erase God. Well, futurism and this end times, I think, is being scripted out right now, because I believe most of it already happened. So if Satan has the Bible, he has the script, couldn't he try to like hide history from us and then try to recreate it now to pull on the heartstrings of people who truly believe in Christ and redemption and God, and get them to freak out and think all this stuff is happening now to kind of handle us? I think that's going on. And that's a huge conversation. And I've done a lot of podcast episodes about what I call the fake apocalypse. But for now, just know that that is considered futurism. So at this time, we have a few other big corruptions happen, like the King James Bible. The King James Bible, ironically, King James, who comes up with that edit, also wrote a book on demons called Demonology. Like, he was really into demons and stuff. And I think an obsession with demons is a bad obsession, because they need us to think about them to give them life. You know, like the more energy you give something, you might actually like call Beetlejuice in by saying his name three times. Well, during this time when the King James Bible made some harsh changes, like adding in, I think it's Mark 18, which is part of Jesus's Great Commission, he adds in this line that was supposedly missing from Mark and every other Bible, saying that you have the power to trample on scorpions and drink poison and speak in tongues and all this stuff. That was seeding for the charismatic movement of the 1960s to come in. And the charismatic movement of the 1960s, sorry to break y'all's heart, if any of you are charismatic or you think you're speaking in tongues and you think you can cast out demons and heal the people by laying hands, I'm not saying miracles can't happen, but the charismatic movement is very wrong and very corrupt. And it's very obvious to me because it was seeded out of the Discordian movement of the 1960s. And when the King James Bible added, they added this verse in as one of the things that they did. And then also they added the concept of Lucifer into the Bible. And Lucifer is supposed to just be a reference to Satan. So why not just say Satan? Well, and it's in Isaiah. It's the only version of the Bible that has it, is in Isaiah 14 in the King James Bible, that Lucifer fell like a morning star, like lightning, making a comparison to when Satan fell from heaven when he wanted to become God. Well, I believe they put the word Lucifer in there because they're trying to create an egregore of Satan that's this beautiful, cool light bringer of enlightenment that's here to save us from evil God. I mean, that's what Satan is wanting us all to believe. That's what he got a third of the fallen angels to believe. He had to convince them, and this is why I'm saying there's a backstory in the Bible we don't know. Like, the Bible cannot, like the 66 canon of the Bible cannot be it. Like, it doesn't have the full story. Something happened with these fallen angels to get them upset to want to rebel against God. And Satan probably convinced them that God was bad. Like, oh yeah, God won't let us go to that party. Like, that's just not cool at all. He's just not wanting us to have any fun. No, God knows best. We shouldn't lean on our own understanding. Take my word. I know. So the word Lucifer is placed into the King James Bible in the 1600s. And at the same time, we have Milton's Paradise Lost comes out, a poem that glorifies Lucifer, the light bringer. We have a couple other books that come out at the time that talk about Lucifer. And it is just, this is a seeding. This is what they do. This is why they're long cons, because shortly after that, the Illuminati's formed about 100 years later. Illuminati, Lucifer, Enlightenment, all the same symbolism of this light bearer coming down. And then you have Helena Blavatsky creating the Theosophical movement in the 1800s, which literally believes that Lucifer is the light bringer that is here to enlighten all of us. The same kind of story here that you're going to see from the Illuminati and the Enlightenment movement. And I do think that the creation of Lucifer was an egregore. An egregore is an occult concept where you take a thought form or a mind manifestation of a collective group of people. They all start believing in it. It makes it real. This and is an occult term. It's a magical term, because what it's doing is, if these fallen angels that are trying to like exist here don't have bodies. They need avatars to like exist here more. You know what I mean? Like avatar, like a statue of Baphomet. That's an avatar of Baphomet. Does Baphomet really look that way? Who knows? It might just be how he shows himself. Lucifer showed himself as a certain way. Pope Gregory at the same time in the 1600s created the egregore of the devil because he really loved Pan, and he based the way the devil looked off of Pan. That way that we all saw Sam Smith looking at the Grammy Awards last year, that outfit is basically derived from like Pan. And that's just like not how anybody would have believed Satan looked before, because Satan was just, you know, the great accuser. He could enter anybody. You know, this is the Antichrist spirit against God. And so that is also why I'm not in line with this futurism beliefs of, oh my God, the Antichrist is coming on the scene. There's been Antichrist throughout time. There's always been Antichrist against God. And so there's not one Antichrist. Like there will be big evil people that rise up and you can consider them an Antichrist, but there's an Antichrist energy and Satan is that. And then you got this egregore created that he looks a certain way. And so now people see him that way. It's just another way that I feel as though the truth has been hidden. And Pope Gregory in the 1600s did that. He also created the Gregorian calendar at this time. And interestingly enough, the Orthodox Church still does their holidays by the Julian calendar. So like Easter hasn't happened yet for Orthodox. It's May 5th, but it happened like last week for Protestants because they go by Pope Gregory's calendar, the Gregorian calendar that came out in the 1600s. So there's just way too much happening at this time period to not see the importance of the 1600s and when this long con started by the fallen angels when they fell from heaven. You guys, they've been like planning this out for thousands of years. Like that's some patience, right? So Helena Blavatsky starts the Theosophical movement just after the Illuminati is formed. And the Illuminati is supposedly founded by Galileo in response to the church's refusal of his heliocentric theory. So he was like, all right, we'll push it out there then. If they won't spread this, then I'll get the people to spread it. And Adam Weishaupt helped start the Bavarian Illuminati on May 1st, 1776, same year, right? Same year the United States is formed. This is all connected. And then the Bavarian Illuminati dissolved some years after its creation, but it had actually not dissolved. It successfully integrated itself with modern Freemasonry. Illuminati thinkers believe that the worldwide reach of Masonic lodges represented their ideal platform for the propagation of their ideals. So the whole point of the Illuminati, it's like a disease, like a weed that just wants to spread. Basically, to sum up, the Illuminati was not an association of bright scientists dedicated to the advancement of scientific truths, as it kind of started with Galileo. It was a secret society through the infiltration and subversion, which aimed to overthrow traditional institutions in order to serve the best interests of the secret elite. Essentially, the agenda pushers illuminating cultural movements. So it's just a way, this is a magic spell. Guarantee you this all, I mean, we know that this came from John Dee, because John Dee was connected with Francis Bacon and Adam Weishaupt. All of these people were connected in their brotherhoods. They were Masons, they were in secret societies, Royal Academy members, Knights of Templar was holding things together before that. So it's just to basically push the manipulation to mind program people, because I'll say it again, I don't believe magic is pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I believe magic is mind programming people. So then after the Illuminati's form, we have Helena Blavatsky starting the Theosophical movement, and she's doing her channeling with the spiritual realm. And the Theosophical movement, you know, believes in enlightenment. And that's the Eye of Horus, that left eye. This ties back to Osiris Isis and the birth of that hidden knowledge. And again, Garden of Eden. It's like the same story, like just reworded all over the place. And so Helena Blavatsky is also connected with like Alice Bailey and Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley. They all kind of started pushing this same enlightenment movement. And as I mentioned, in 1830, John Darby created the false doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture, which makes me very sad, because there are people out there that I've seen like come into comments on my page or try talking to me and really believe in the rapture. They've been worried about someone that they love very much that's not saved, that they don't know about the rapture yet, they're not going to be taken away. There's not going to be a rapture. Like, the pre-tribulation already happened. Like, this was, you just have to do a little research and you realize, like, the Bible doesn't even talk, the sole scripture of people that believe in the rapture, the Bible doesn't even talk about it. Like, no church had talked about it. But the cult that John Darby was in, that Aleister Crowley also grew up in, did. So I believe Aleister Crowley saw from his upbringings that people really believed in this, like, religious stuff. And they really believed, like, that you could use people's faith to kind of move them and trick them. And so Aleister Crowley kind of continues this work started by the Egyptians with the channeling of the Book of the Dead, and then continued by John Dee with Queen Elizabeth and Enochian magic. And then we've got Aleister Crowley kind of picking up the reins, you know, while this New Age movement's been seeded of enlightenment. And all of the tactics of the New Age are just occult, like, methods of communicating and working with the spiritual realm. Like Alice Bailey, who studied Helena Blavatsky, this is like the unholy apostolic succession. So the apostolic succession in the Orthodox Church is just like a continuous succession that goes through a series of priests that ties back to the disciples and the apostles of Christ. Like, the blessings are connected. But then you have this occult, like, inversion of that. We've got, like, John Dee teaching at Francis Bacon, teaching at Adam Weishaupt, teaching, you know, probably influencing King James, and then him, you know, his influence creating cultural books like Milton's Paradise Lost and the Illuminati being formed, and Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey learning from Helena Blavatsky. And she's the one who even pushed, like, the concept of the chakras and balance your chakras. Well, many people actually believe that's just helping open a demonic portal in your body. And the goal is, if it's psychedelics, if it's meditation, if it's practicing magic, like divination, talking to the spiritual world, like going to that realm to get your knowledge, it's just a bad idea. There's no fact checker. That's a joke, but really there's no fact checker. And you can't, like, these angels come as angels of light. You know, they're not, I was never afraid of them, but they are here to destroy and kill. And they're doing a long, long con, and they're using us as vessels. So the whole New Age movement is seeded purposefully in the 1800s as a next big step in this long con that the fallen angels are doing to rebirth Babylon and to basically take over the world. And what it is really like normalizing magic in the occult and getting people to, like, open portals and honestly, like, kind of summon in demons. And they want us to be more demonically connected, because that means the more we connect to the spiritual realm, the more they exist here. I also believe that is why we have this AI kind of movement going right now with the nanoparticles and the metals and the frequency manipulation and just the mind programming and the vaccines and everything. It's the other side of it, like the physical side of trying to control and handle us. There's also the mental side. And then there's the spiritual side, where erase God or get people to believe that they need to be enlightened by Lucifer, who's a made up egregore. That's just the other side of Satan. We also have Anton LaVey during this time, more into like the 1950s. I just want to mention him briefly because he's kind of considered one of the fathers of the New Age movement and this sector of the PSYOP. This is really just a long PSYOP, a con, a PSYOP, a ritual. It's like the same thing. So Anton LaVey kind of learned from Aleister Crowley. So like we have Helena Blavatsky, and then you got like Alice Bailey and Aleister Crowley all around the same time. And then Anton LaVey in the 1950s. And this is when the Discordians come into the picture and their counterculture movement. And I think that Anton LaVey, he's considered the founder of the modern Church of Satan. And I think it's a big joke. I literally think he's just like a CIA agent, because he actually worked at a crime lab, like in college and stuff. And just like the way he dresses up like Pope Gregory's egregore, and like everything he does is just so obviously like kind of comically satanic. It's not scary, it's like a joke to me. And then like the whole satanic panic of the 1980s, like I'm not saying that stuff didn't happen, I'm not saying satanic ritual abuse doesn't happen, it does, but I also think that there is a handling on conspiracies where there is something that's happening. So a smoke screen's created on top of that. That's kind of ridiculous. And if you look at today and like the way Hollywood and the entertainment industry just glorifies satanic stuff, like they think it's cool or whatever the reason they're doing it, but they're just Illuminati members who are mind programmed and handled by the spiritual realm to do all these things. And they're like through their pride thinking that what they do is artistic or edgy, but it's not. It's just stupid. And it's literally what the fallen angels have scripted them to do. So like the price of selling your soul for as an Illuminati member is to like get money, which is mammon, and fame, which is pride. But to do that, you're helping program humanity. And that's the giant ritual that we're talking about here. So I do believe Anton LaVey was just playing his part. And I could talk more about all that. And I will discuss Discordianism here in a moment because we're almost to the 1960s. But before that, I need to talk about Aleister Crowley because he is a huge piece in this puzzle. Like for this conversation, I am kind of like touching on first this con, starting with the fallen angels and then the Egyptians channeling them and getting the Book of the Dead. And then we have John Dee channeling Enochian magic and the kind of creation of the computer and ciphers and code and starting the New Babylon concept, which is the rebirth of Atlantis. And we know Osiris rising with his X crossed his arms is the rebirth. And what comes out of that is this knowledge. And it's that same hidden knowledge that Eve, you know, ate in the Garden of Eden that started this curse that humanity is basically under. And then we have Aleister Crowley doing his channelings in 1904. So in 1904, he did a channeling between, and this is now we're going to connect to the eclipse. He did a channeling where he channeled his Book of Law. And that's just an occult Book of Law given to him by this being named Iwas, A-I-W-A-S-S. And Iwas basically like came and spoke to him when he drew an X and channeled him. And Aleister Crowley was a successful divinator. I know he also worked with mediums too. I'll talk about the Almatraya working here in a little bit because it's another ritual he did that summoned this gray being named Lamb. He had to use a medium for that. But in the channelings of 1904, they were done April 8th through the 10th. So we had the eclipse pass through on April 8th. And timing is a lot to these occultists. Like I mentioned earlier about John Dee, he was obsessed with numbers. And Kabbalists, which is Jewish mysticism, is Kabbalah. And Kabbalah turned into quantum physics. And a lot of people try to prove things with gematria. Oh my gosh, look at these numbers. They mean something. Yeah, you're just picking up breadcrumbs that were placed for you by the fallen angels. You're being conned by those numbers, thinking there's something. That was done by design. Yes, you're discovering something, but it's a trap. At the end of all that gematria and you thinking that you've figured things out, you might become schizophrenic, which is the ultimate goal, make everybody crazy. Then they won't know the truth at all. So Aleister Crowley channeled this being in the Book of Law the same time that the eclipse just came through, the Great American X Eclipse, and he did his channelings by drawing an X. The next major thing that Aleister Crowley did was in 1917, the Almatraya working that he did with a medium named, I believe, Roddy Miner. And through her eyes, they pulled through the eyes a gray being named Lamb. And the eyes are a portal. You have to open portals to bring these beings in because they're energy. I do not believe in physical aliens. I believe they're energetic in the spiritual realm. That's always what I saw. And I actually have a chapter in my book called Contact where I, without realizing it, did the same kind of ritual like the Almatraya working and also like pulled a gray being out from someone's eyes. So this is very real. I know this sounds kind of crazy. Like sometimes when I say it, because it's been 4 years since that happened and I don't do psychedelics anymore. I haven't done any divination at all since Jesus came into my life, summer 2021. I just know that these things are real because I experienced them. And that's why I really put a lot of like stress on that I think I figured this out, like putting it all together after thinking about this and praying about this and researching and looking into all this and tying it all together, that this is just a long giant con to hide God and hide the truth and fracture our minds and mind control us so that the fallen angels can exist through our vessels and try to take over this world that was created by God for us, not them. So After Aleister Crowley does the 1921 Almatry working, we have the 1946 Babylon working, which was done by Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard. And L. Ron Hubbard is the man who formed Scientology. Jack Parsons was a rocket engineer. This is also the time when we have Wernher von Braun, who was an ex-Nazi brought over in Project Paperclip, started working with Walt Disney. Walt Disney was a massive occultist. He was part of the Brotherhood of the Del Roy, I believe. Even, you know, the Disney Studios, Walt Disney World in Florida, was built on the 33rd parallel. Like, I do think that that's tied to the 33%, the fallen angels that fell, and also this Karanzan being that John Dee channeled while doing his Enochian channelings. And then Aleister Crowley also has connections in channeling Karanzan as well, which I will explain in a moment. But the Babylon working done with Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard was a series of magical rituals done in 1946 in the desert, and they were sex magic rituals, and they were done masturbating to the moon, and it is literally like an Osiris-Isis ritual with the obelisk and the moon, which is the same thing as firing a rocket to the moon, which is they just fired three rockets at the eclipse, the moon shadow, the other day. Like, it's just wild how this is kind of all connected. In fact, the eclipse passed through the United States, the final part, at 3:33 p.m. through Caribou, Maine. And that number is associated with this demon, Karanzan, that Crowley channeled, known as the demon of dispersion. And Karanzan is described by Crowley as a temporary personification of the force that occupies the abyss. So CERN was also turned on April 8th, and CERN is considered to be opening a portal into the abyss. And in fact, the CERN location in Europe is supposedly above the Temple of Apollo, and Apollo was that gatekeeper to the abyss, to the underworld. It's really wild. So let's talk a little bit about why this Karanzan being is considered 333. In Kabbalistic gematria, a system used to interpret Hebrew scriptures by assigning numerical values to the words. And I believe this is that language that John Dee channeled, that these fallen angel liars told him preceded Hebrew. It's a lie. And this is why, please do not get obsessed with gematria. It is a big con placed by the fallen angels. So the word Karanzan bears the value of 333 in gematria. And it's exactly half of the number of the beast, which is 666, described in Revelation 13:18, which gives Karanzan significance as an aspect of Satan. Even Aleister Crowley considered himself the beast, 666. It's weird stuff. Though Karanzan is typically explained as embodying a female aspect, it's also a male entity like the beast. And all of these demons have both genders. You'll see that even with Baphomet and, like, all of them, they're androgynous. And that is a step in alchemy, balancing both the genders. So in Thelema, which is Aleister Crowley's belief system, Karanzan is the dweller in the abyss that magicians must pass through. So developed in the early 1900s by Aleister Crowley, Thelema is a social and religious movement blending Egyptian mysticism, Buddhism, and magic into a spiritual philosophy and that is saying there is no God but man. So, like, that you can be God yourself, which it just is such a joke. Like, for me, the biggest letdown in this entire world would be that I'm God. And that's what the New Age wants you to believe. You're God in the flesh. You too are God. No, I'm not. I'm definitely not God. I don't want to be God. That would be the biggest letdown. I don't have any of the answers. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I'm talking. I don't know how my heart's beating. I don't know where I go when I die. I'm not God. I'm humble, and I'm happy to have a creator that loves me so much, that sent Jesus Christ to come here and bridge us back and be the mediator to the Father. Like, okay, anyways. So Karanzan, this dweller in the abyss, is the sole inhabitant of the chasm of human magicians must pass to attain enlightenment and knowledge. Those who are prepared to meet Karanzan and are capable of abandoning their ego will be able to move beyond the abyss and then achieve master of temple. Okay, this is what they believe in, the Thelemites, the Aleister Crowley people. And Karanzan is a demon that originated in the writings of 16th century occultists Edward Kelly and John Dee, 007, and creating Enochian magic. And the Masons study Enochian magic. Manly P. Hall's book secret teachings of all ages, is Enochian magic. So though Karanzan was first summoned by John Dee and Edward Kelly hundreds of years prior, the demon Karanzan first had a recorded summoning on December 6th, 1909. Only a handful of years afterward, he would be claimed to have received the supreme moral law of Thelema from Iwas, the messenger of the Egyptian god Horus. Aleister Crowley embarked on a spiritual odyssey. He journeyed into the desert wastelands outside of Bas-Sada, Algeria, with his companion Victor Nerberg, intending to evoke and defeat Karanzan to achieve enlightenment. So he also performed a magical ritual in Nuremberg in which Crowley took on the submersive role to conquer his ego. He claimed to have evoked Karanzan in by slipping into a trance and then reciting some stuff from his works with a triangle surrounded by a magical barrier of circles. And supposedly he entered this triangle and supposedly defeated Karanzan after a lengthy debate and struggle, and finally writing the name Babylon in the sand with his holy ring to signify he had overcome Karanzan. So I actually don't really believe he overcame Karanzan. I think Karanzan probably took him on because he's considered the demon of dispersion and dissolution. He is all-encompassing, and he's like a metaphorical black hole that eats things. And what is CERN trying to do? Recreate antimatter, recreate a black hole. So if you don't overcome Karanzan, he possesses you. That's the belief. And it is actually said by a lot of Crowley's associates that they believe he was actually irrevocably affected by his experience summoning this demon, and that Karanzan possessed him for the remainder of his days. So the symbol for Karanzan is very similar to the radiation sign. And a lot of people kind of, you know, there's theories that these demons can kind of show themselves through the elements or the elementals. And radiation is what a lot of people I talk to, and even what I kind of felt was sort of a side effect from this eclipse afterwards. And it, knowing that Karanzan is this demon that's been summoned for a long time, and like tying this all together, this long con ritual that's been happening, it really concerns me that this eclipse may have had some kind of radiation connection. And I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything, because I do believe that God protects us, just like he tells us in Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall by your left, 10,000 by your right. But when you make the Lord the Most High your fortress, you'll be okay. And think of Shadrach, Abednego, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They were just fine. Or Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, we have stories throughout time, like God's got us. I'm going to come back to end this conversation talking about the eclipse on April 8th and what I experienced and what I am hearing from so many people online. But I first want to talk about the counterculture movement now in the 1960s. Because basically, like, we have Aleister Crowley's channelings with Iwas and Lamb, and then we have the Babylon Working, which was to summon the Whore of Babylon, done by Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard. And then we have, in 1947, this like crazy shift that happens in the world. Just to mention some of the things, we have the Roswell UFO crash landing, the AK-47 goes into production, the Diary of Anne Frank was published, the Sinkolt Ilan meteorite falls from the sky, the International Monetary Fund begins financial operations, Harry S. Truman signs in the National Security Act, the first case of a computer bug was found, Walt Disney testified before the House of Un-American Activities and Committee, the Hollywood Ten are blacklisted, the Jerusalem riots and the formation of from the Balfour Declaration happens in Palestine and Jerusalem, the first World Series is shown. There's just like a bunch of crazy stuff that happens in 1947, and I do think that like after these big rituals we see a lot of shifts, and I think that April 8th was a big ritual and that we are going to see a big shifting and changing of things coming, you know, very soon. So after 1947, we have the Discordian movement. We have the creation of the parody religion of Discordianism that worship the goddess Eris, which is the goddess of chaos, and Robert Anton Wilson is a Discordian, and he wrote a trilogy called the Illuminatus Trilogy. And the final secret, he says, is that you're going to realize, when the final secret you discover is that you're already a member of the Illuminati. Because the Illuminati, you know, it took into the Masonic system, but I just like the Bavarian Illuminati dissolved into the Masonic system, I think the Illuminati is like a shapeshifter that dissolved from the Masonic system, and then it moved into Hollywood, and then it moved from Hollywood to the conspiracy theorists online. And that was something that I kind of discovered, I think, about a year ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're all the Illuminati members. And we've all been enlightened into this occult world where the truth, or what we think is the truth, is not hidden anymore. And you think the more conspiracies you discover, the more knowledge you have, the smarter you are, and the deeper you go. And like, and I got into this pride, you know, in my old podcast, Not So Secret Societies podcast, I was doing exactly that. Like, there was a reason it was so popular. And the stuff we were talking about were just the recycled conspiracies, junk, trash, placed in there by the fallen angels to create apothemia, which is to make everybody go crazy and be mind programmed. I believe monarch mind programming, if you look, know what that is not being done to just celebrities. It's being done to all of us, where you start seeing a butterfly and you're like, oh my gosh, that's MK Ultra, or you can't eat pizza or show a picture of it because you're now, because you don't want people to think that you're a pedophile or whatever, because of Pizzagate. And it's just, it's so confusing. But it becomes very obvious when you follow the patterns and the tactics and the networks. It starts unfolding and exposing itself. And the Discordians literally bank off of all these conspiracies creating chaos. And you know who needs chaos? The Masons. The Masonic system, and the founding fathers are Masons. Like, you know, I've mentioned that time period with Adam Warsop and Francis Bacon and the creation of the New Atlantis, which is the United States, Babylon, they were all Masons. So this is a giant checkerboard of dualism, black and white, the Hegelian dialectic, vote Democrat, vote Republic, you get a choice. No, those two roads lead to the same predetermined outcome. It's an illusion of choice. That's magic, mind programming, handling. These are the methods at play. So in the 1960s, the counterculture revolution was started. That's when psychedelics were pushed. That's when the free love movement was pushed, birth control, sexual liberation. And we had Alice Bailey, who I mentioned was the one who pushed the chakras, who learned from Helena Blavatsky, the theosophical movement of Lucifer, the Enlightener. And Alice Bailey even had a press company called Lucius Press, which was named after Lucifer. These people were the first Luciferians. And she had a 10-point plan to help destroy humanity. And it's the same as the communist goals. Like, there's a lot of versions of it, but it's basically like destroying the family unit, pushing free love, making divorce free and legal, like all the crazy things that we see today. And the Discordians just helped push this. So one of the ways I really saw what the Discordian movement was, because this was like summer 2022 when I learned about the Discordians. And because I was like, what the heck is going on? This conspiracy stuff feels weird. Something doesn't feel right about it. I'm starting to like tie things together and not believe people, or like I realized this person was infiltrated. And then now I see that this person I thought was a good source is connected to that person. It all just started crumbling. And I remember learning about the Playboy tunnels. In fact, even like sharing that on podcasts and being like, there's tunnels under the Playboy mansion. And maybe there were something at some point, but the Playboy Mansion was a honeypot. It was a CIA operation to collect information and blackmail on people. And the magazine was used to push ideas like the Illuminati in Hollywood into popular culture, and also to push concepts and theories like the Playboy Mansion had tunnels underneath. It was actually an April Fool's Day joke. Like, all of the Playboy tunnel blueprints and the information that like people were showing me and I was sharing was literally a joke placed by Discordians in Playboy magazine, because Playboy, just everything about it, there's a reason the Playboy bunnies are bunnies, because it's the bait to get you into following something. Follow the white rabbit, like Alice in Wonderland. And Playboy is literally, like, it's gross because they, like, sexual urge and desire has been definitely used against humans. Like, God told us to reproduce and like fill the world, but he told us to get married, and he doesn't want us to be like having casual sex and God forbid having an abortion or having to experience something like that. I do believe that abortion is like a mass ritual, like sacrifice ritual. It's very sad and it's horrible. I mean, you know, they never stop. Like, they used to like hand their babies to Moloch and sacrifice them. And today it's just done a little differently, but there's a lot of reasons that the sexual revolution movement happened during this time. And I believe that Playboy utilized that mind programming of big boobs and a skinny waist. And like, this is what you're attracted to, kind of like the Victoria's Secret angels, which, gosh, talk about conspiracy. A lot of people believe that the Victoria's Secret angels are actually men who have transitioned, and that's why they look the way they do. Unattainable beauty, because it is literally not normal. And how horrible for a man to be sexually attracted to a Victoria's Secret angel when it's really a man. But it kind of hit me like a while ago. I was like, why are men so attracted to boobs and big butts and all that? It's like mind programming. I mean, I think about like breasts literally were for babies, like to breastfeed babies and like bring life into this world, but somehow it got turned into a sexualized thing, especially with Playboy and just the way that women look. And I think that that's a, like, even porn, like people that watch a lot of porn are going to be mind programmed by it. Like, it's awful. And it's like being used to handle people. So like, you go read Playboy magazine, or you go follow that, you go after that urge, and then something bad comes out of it. Like, you might start reading all the other stuff in Playboy magazine and believing that, or you start living a certain way that's ungodly and just like takes you further away from God. And this is what Discordians did. This is what the counterculture movement did. It pushed the feminist movement as well, which I got fooled by. And, you know, it started pushing the UBU movement and the gender, all the craziness we're seeing today. And it is a part of this ritual to fracture our minds and hide the truth so much that people think they can change their gender, or that people think that the coolest thing you can do is make a ton of money and never have kids and never have a relationship with God. But really, like, I believe personally the best thing you can do is listen to God, follow God, and try to get as close to him as you can. And the way the counterculture movement, or the cultural movement today is it's the opposite of what God wants for us. And when you think of the word occult, it means hidden. Well, within the word culture is the word cult. Within the word conspiracy is the word con. And within the 1960s, we also have an even bigger infiltration of the church. And we have the charismatic movement that comes out from the Azusa Street revivals. It was literally a planned thing. I've got other episodes where I talk more about this, but the charismatic movement, even Scientology coming out from L. Ron Hubbard, who did the ritual with Jack Parsons, like, they've made all this stuff up, and it's just not okay. It's heretics. There is the real church. It's the Orthodox Church, the first church closest to when Jesus was here. But after the schism of the 1054 in the 11th century, the Roman Catholic Church splits off. It splits it. And this is the fracturing, because fracturing is the method at hand. Because the more you fracture something, the more you honeycomb it, the more you mind control it. This ties back to the Tesseract, to the hexagram, a hex, a container. That's what the Tesseract sits in. And compartmentalizing and mind programming the mind is this magic ritual, this long con ritual. So what happened, starting with the fallen angels, 33% falling, then we have the Book of the Dead that the Egyptians channel from the fallen angels. God has to deliver the Israelites, I believe, not just from physical slavery, but mental enslavement. And then we have John Dee channeling the Enochian language and Coranzon. And then we have Francis Bacon and all the secret societies and the Jesuits infiltrating the education system, and then creating this blueprint to rebirth Atlantis. And all of the infiltration of the church happening throughout this time, including Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation of the 1960s, when he nails his 95 theses up on All Souls Day, saying that the Roman Catholic Church was doing things wrong, which they were. But then Martin Luther actually, he's being played. Just like, honestly, it reminds me of like conspiracy theorists discovering things and being like, we figured it out. Well, Martin Luther, you're right. The Catholic Church was doing things wrong, but why didn't he go back behind it and go to what our church fathers were doing, the apostles, what they were teaching from Jesus? Instead, Martin Luther decided to come up with something new. Just like Muhammad channeled Islam, Martin Luther made this decision to remove 8 books from the Bible and that Protestantism was the way. And what came out of that was 40,000 denominations. And you just can't have 40,000 truths. And how could someone be so proud to believe that the church fathers who wrote the canon of the Bible got it right, got the Bible right? Like Protestants will believe that the church fathers got the Bible right. They believe in sola scriptura. But because Martin Luther said so, the 1500 years before he lived, after Jesus was here, that they got it all wrong. So let me just say that again, because I really want you to understand this, and I hope I'm saying it clearly. But we have Jesus. He starts, the church has started right after Pentecost with the apostles. They're made to disciples to go and spread the word. And not only did they keep the oral tradition alive, they wrote the Bible through the divine inspiration of God. And every Protestant's going to believe in sola scriptura, that the 66 books that Martin Luther told them to read are the final authority. Well, the church fathers gave us that canon. So you'll believe, if you're Protestant and you're a sola scriptura, that the church fathers did it right. I've got two thumbs up right now. Did it right when they wrote the Bible, but did it wrong in how they practiced the church for 1500 years? That we needed Martin Luther to come in and correct things? Wrong. So wrong. I am calling this the Protestant spell. It is such a big topic that I am unfolding in my mind that I will be doing an entire episode on this. And I think it's going to upset a lot of people, but that's okay because I'm furious. I'm furious for being fooled by the Protestant spell for 2 years. And it explains so much, like the Christian Karens out there, the way people judge each other, the nastiness, the denominations fighting against each other, the pride that we're seeing cometh before the fall. I'm thinking the Antichrist spirit is actually probably behind a lot of this, this Leviathan prideful spirit. But that, like I said, the Protestant spell is an episode that will be coming soon because it's a whole thing to talk about. So now we've moved through to Helena Blavatsky and the Illuminati being formed, then Aleister Crowley doing his channelings, and here we are now today with the X-Eclipse ritual. That's right, the X-Eclipse ritual. That's what I'm calling it. The Osiris Rising ritual, the Great American Coincidence. So I do believe that this was using the demon Karanzan from the abyss, and it was trying to summon it up. Now, I came across some really interesting information that Still Shining Bitches, an account on Instagram, Chandra's account, shared about how the Belgium ESA unveiled a pair of spacecraft making up its new Proba 3 mission planned to produce orbital solar eclipse events on demand. So the same day that the April 8th eclipse happened, there is a disclosure of the Proba 3 mission. And it has two probes calling the occulter, which is occult, hidden, and a coronagraph, like corone, to create eclipses. Right after, we have the coronavirus. Do you guys see how this is all connected? It's just wild. So those probes were launched yesterday, supposedly to test this mission. But what it's telling us is that there is technology out there to create a fake eclipse. And actually, when you look up this Probe 3 article that was put out a couple days ago, the ESA unveiling the Proba 3 mission, PROBA-3 mission, look it up, you're going to see a picture of the Apollo mission creating a fake eclipse in the 70s. So they've been doing this for a long time. And I do believe that there's technologies out there that we don't even know about. I actually think humanity is so mind programmed and lost, we don't even realize how bad the spell is here. I'm not saying, like, I know we're in end times and hey, Jesus come back any day. Things are way worse here than I think people realize. And another thing that happened that's interesting is Peter Higgs, who is the scientist who proposed the particle that gives other particles mass, that was named the Higgs boson, And he discovered that with the large Hadron Collider at CERN, died on April 8th at 94. And that's just like wild that he happened to die the day that they started CERN back up. Well, they started firing CERN back up for this run on March 22nd. March 22nd is 322. That's the Skulls and Bones Day. Skulls and Bones is one of these secret societies. Their logo is the pirate with the X. And there's a tremendous amount of X symbolism surrounding this eclipse. And I'm just going to kind of share some of this synchronistic stuff that to me at this point is just a sign that this is probably a psyop or this was planned, you know, by these fallen angels. Because how else could this kind of stuff happen? Like Twitter just rebranded to X. The World Economic Forum had in January 17th held a event called Preparing for Disease X. We have the Osiris Rising ritual where he has an X crossed over his chest. This year is 2024. The 24th letter of the alphabet is X. We had the first part of this Great American Eclipse come in 2017, and it passed through three cities named Salem, like Jerusalem, which means peace. And then this 2024 eclipse that came through on April 8th passed up through the body of Christ. I'm sorry, Corpus Christi, which means the body of Christ. And then it went through seven cities named Nineveh. Nineveh is the city that Jonah was prophesied to go warn that the city of Nineveh needed to repent. Nineveh is actually where Nimrod was from. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. And it's, you know, was probably like Babylon at the time, a lot like the United States. And there was the Bersagel eclipse that came over when he was giving that warning to Nineveh. So there's a lot of coincidences surrounding this eclipse. Like, it's unbelievable. Even like the number of dates between the 2017 and the 2024 eclipse is something like 6 years, 6 months, 6 days, something crazy like that. Like, and these are the things that only the fallen angels, I believe, could orchestrate, because this is a 1,000-year con. This is hundreds of years that they've been planning things, and like, we could never do that because our lifespans are only 100 years. You know, but the fallen angels, I do believe, can, they don't live like we do. They don't have the bodies that, like, our souls, you know, are going to live on, but our body, our flesh dies out. And so that's why they could do a long con like this. Because I started thinking about these cities. I'm like, well, yeah, there's seven cities named Nineveh, but they name cities. And this eclipse crosses an X at Little Egypt. Well, Little Egypt, you know, they could have named it that, like, on purpose, because they knew this was going to happen. One, maybe they made this eclipse happen. I don't know. Two, maybe they just named these cities long enough because they knew this would be the path and they wanted to handle us today. So then the rockets get fired up by NASA. Like, it's just, and then it ends at 333. All of this stuff is just crazy to me. And so I wanted to actually watch this eclipse. I live in Austin. We're in the path of totality. It came right over us. So I sat outside and it was a crazy experience. Like, I just thought, this is cool. I want to see this. This is wild. But I also heard that, like, ancient groups didn't want to watch eclipses because they considered it bad omens. And there were some people that were like, don't watch it, don't watch it. But I'm an idiot and I went out and watched it. I'm also the crazy person who would do insane things, you know, in the spiritual realm. I don't know. I guess I need more fear. I just fear God. But I sat out and I watched it. And when the totality happened, it was really eerie. But, you know, of course, the sky was like super clouded the day of the eclipse, which they cloud seeded it starting the day before. Chemtrails infuriate me like so much. This was a level that I had like never seen. Like, I was like, okay, they don't want us to see this. And it also, I feel like, made the totality like kind of weird and maybe not as dramatic as it could have been, because I really wanted to see the stars in the sky, like, that you wouldn't normally see during the day because, you know, the sun is out. But because the sky was so clouded, it kind of hid everything. And it also sort of made me want to watch the eclipse more, that they were like spraying it so much. But when totality happened, it was like really eerie. And then it lasted for 1 minute, 44 seconds. And then I decided that I would sit outside in my hammock and just kind of watch the light come back to normal over the next 45 minutes. I had some weird physical pains, like for the first 45 minutes or hour of the eclipse, the first half of it. I remember like the first time I went outside, I suddenly like had this like sharp pain. It felt like in like my ovary, honestly, it's kind of weird. And so I kind of went inside and then my like calf was hurting. I was like, what the heck? Is this psychosomatic? Am I making this up? Maybe. But I ended up, you know, deciding to watch the rest of it from my hammock and just, cause it seemed like not that, you know, this is just not that big of a deal. I'm just kind of chilling out. But my dogs didn't want to be outside. Like my one dog hung out in my office and my other dog, I pulled all of the blackout curtains in my bedroom. I love sleeping in a completely dark room. Like I'm totally not afraid of the dark at all. I love the dark. I wish that I had like a completely dark Faraday cage like room to sleep in that was soundproof. But, you know, those are just my life goals. I'll have that one day. And my other dog went and just like sat out the eclipse in my bedroom. So that was a little telling to me. So after the eclipse, after totality, I'm laying in my hammock for about 5 minutes, guys. And all of a sudden, my teeth feel weird. I have a molar that I grind. Like I've had the dentist tell me a few times, like, you need to stop grinding that molar. You're going to have problems with it. And I'm like, okay, we'll deal with it when I have the problems. Well, my molar all of a sudden felt weird. Like, you know, when you have those dreams that you're molar is loose. It felt like my tooth was loose. So I put my hand in there to touch it and it did, guys, it literally like felt slightly loose. And then I felt something and I pulled my finger out and there was blood. Okay. I floss regularly and I hadn't flossed that day. So it wasn't like my tooth was bleeding from anything I did. This would have been very abnormal. This never happens to me that my tooth just bleeds for no reason. So I freaked the fuck out and ran inside. Like I freaked out because I instantly was like, oh my gosh, this is just like Leave the World Behind after the frequency manipulation and the kids' teeth all fall out. And that's obviously an Obama revelation of the method, like planting of conspiracies and just, all, you know, I've done episodes. I have a members episode in the Friendship Membership explaining the symbolism of Leave the World Behind and everything on that. If you want to know more, sign up for the Friendship Membership. This whole episode's been commercial free because of that. Support the podcast, be friends. Anyways, so I freaked out, ran inside, and I was done with the eclipse. And then the next thing I did was, like, intuitively, like, I kind of freaked out. Like, I'll be straight with you guys. That was weird to, like, because the rest of my teeth felt swollen too. It was really, really weird. So I did oil pulling in my mouth, and then I took a shower right away. And then I have been taking iodine the last few days. Like I normally try to take it every day. I just poured some right now here. I'm going to have a sip of some iodine water. And if you have some, please do. Because iodine helps with radiation exposure. And when I saw that, and I don't know why I didn't see this beforehand, but that the whole eclipse ended at 3:33 in Caribou, Maine. And I started like putting it all together about Aleister Crowley and John Dee and Corazon like referencing radiation. I was like, what? And like learning that they could make fake eclipses or like mess with them. I was like, what if? And I'm not trying to scare anybody because believe me, like God has us. He has us through everything. What if this was like a radiation ritual? Because I went to my stories and I asked people, how are you feeling after this eclipse? I have never in the 3 years I've had my Instagram account, Here Comes Trouble, gotten this many responses from people. I had hundreds of responses. People having lightheadedness, dizzy, teeth problems, bleeding in their gums, memory fatigue, all of the stuff that are signs or symptoms of radiation exposure. So I don't know, you know, what this all is really, but I do believe it's a ritual. I do believe the ultimate goal is to mind program us, the transhuman agenda, the AI, the metals in the sky, the frequencies, because the frequencies were amped up. Like I can hear ultrasonic frequencies very well. And the more sensitive you are, the more you'll be able to hear them and notice them. And they were amped up all day on the eclipse. And I do believe that the 5G and that kind of stuff is not to bring us better internet. I think it's just another way to, like the movie They Live, put signals out there to mind control people. So I believe that we are in the midst of the long, long con started by the fallen angels that's been done for hundreds of years to try to take over this world and to get us to forget God and to mind program us and control us like their little army of vessels that they can essentially drive around and exist here, like we're their space suits in a way. So you know, what's the answer? God. Get as close to God as you can. And as I've shared a little bit in this episode, and I will be sharing more as I continue my Orthodox journey, become a seeker. A seeker is somebody in the Orthodox church that wants to learn. And then you do catechism, and then you become part of the church. You can take the Eucharist. I have some repenting to do because I got really on my high horse of pride when I was learning, you know, as a new Christian, and I thought, you cannot lose your salvation. There's no way. I got into arguments. Friendships fell apart because of it. A Christian can't be possessed. I don't believe in that. Well, even what heaven and hell is different to the Orthodox. Like, the Orthodox believe that your life is working out your salvation. You got to keep running that race. Like Paul says to the very end, it's not just saying Jesus is Lord and you're saved, like the Protestants make you believe. It's not just that simple, guys. I really don't think so. I think that our life is the battlefield, or like the, not necessarily battlefield, but the play space where God can utilize everything around us. Like Job's story, you know, Satan might come and say, I want to do this spiritual warfare to someone. And God goes, okay, go ahead and do that to Kara. Go ahead and let the last edit on her book fail so that that book won't come out for another extra month and she has to hire a new editor. Like things like that. Or go let somebody, you know, suffer that heartbreak, or let them experience that today in life, because this is the stuff that refines us and changes us. Like, we're in a physical realm where you need physical things to do that. And in fact, the Orthodox belief of hell is, and I'm just sharing what I know so far, I'm just a seeker, so look into this yourself. Like, there were a lot of things about Protestantism that didn't sit with me. Like, I do believe in the physical location of hell, where the fallen angels will go, reserved for those, you know, that did the worst. But I'd be like, how can all these, like, good people just automatically go to that same place the fallen angels have to go to? Like, that doesn't seem like a just, merciful thing God would do. Well, the concept of hell and heaven to an Orthodox is more like, how close can you get to God? Either being close to God will feel like heaven to you and you'll love it, or it's going to feel like hell because you don't believe in God. You know, people that like can't accept love, and people that are just evil and mean, love is God. People that can't accept the truth is God. That's going to be like hell for them. And so, it, you know, it's much more complex than what I'm saying, but I'm just kind of like presenting to you that there's some very, like, another thing is, like, in the Orthodox church, they light, you light candles to pray for people. They light incense, and God talks all about like incense and stuff and candles in the Bible. And like, these were all things that I really felt a kind of like primal internal connection to that were missing in the Protestant church. And the Protestant church I went to did the communion, where you do like the body of Christ and the grape juice, but it's missing something. At the Orthodox church, like, the entire service is basically like them preparing the Eucharist, which is the blood and body of Christ, so that you can remember him, and which means remember, like rejoin. I hope that just blew your mind, because it blew my mind. When I was in Protestantism, they're like, it's the blood of Christ on the cross that saves us. And yes, that does. But the Orthodox believe it's taking the Eucharist that remembers you, rejoins you to Christ. And that's why Christ tells us to do that. Drink my body and eat my, drink my blood and eat my body to remember me. What if that's what we need? And this giant long con spell that created Protestantism and all these denominations that are just doing things the way they want to, because there's no head of the church except for the pastor, or nobody in most Protestant denominations. Jesus Christ is the head of the Orthodox church. They're all united and doing it the same. What if part of that was to get people to not take the Eucharist properly? So I haven't taken the Eucharist yet, because you, in the Orthodox church, like, you do need to understand and become a catechumen and be like brought in. And so, I'm not saying the Eucharist saves you, but I think it's a, I'm not sure, but I think it's a huge step in this. I really do want to stress that, like, I'm just learning right now and I'm just sharing what I know. So please don't take everything I say as like complete perfect truth here. Please, I'm just like hoping that you, like me, become a seeker and look into this, because you can have blessed bread, which is the body of Christ in the Orthodox church. And when I had my first piece of blessed bread about a month and a half ago, I'm telling you, it was as if the scales dropped from my eyes. And I look at Protestantism and I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally understand why the Christian Karens bothered me, that I was judged so harshly. Like, Orthodox don't tell you to call out your brother and sister's sins and to judge everybody like you see all of the Protestants do. I mean, I got bullied and judged worse by Protestants than anything in my life. Orthodoxies, you know what they tell you? Focus on your own salvation. You're a sinner too. Call out yourself on your sins. Repent and go to God and feel humble. Like, get humble and repent. Don't sit and just focus on everybody else. You know what that sounds like? The great accuser, Satan. So I'm going to kind of leave it at that because, as I said, I've got the Protestant Spell episode that will be coming soon. I've been very, very like devoted to finishing up my book. And as I mentioned, it's been a ton of spiritual warfare keeping this book from coming out, but it's all going to come out exactly when God wants it to. And we're there finally. So hold on. You will be getting your pre-orders in a few weeks. And if you don't do the pre-order, you will have an opportunity to buy Here Comes Trouble sometime in May, probably in late May. So the pre-orders will be getting their books about a month before the public does, no matter what date that is. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As I said, if you want more, go to Instagram to Here Comes Trouble, to my account. And I have a live that I did where I'm wearing my tinfoil trucker hat and I look crazy. And I am listening to music too. So this was a little distracting for some people. Some people like the music, but I talk about all the stuff there. Thank you so much for being my friends. I can't believe I'm still doing the Let's Be Friends podcast after 3 years. I'm so excited for my book to come out. I'm so excited to see the positive shifts that are going to happen as this season changes, because whatever this eclipse is and whatever this ritual was, we're going to see things happen. I do think so. We're in a selection year, which not an election, selection year. And, you know, 2020, the last selection year, was when COVID broke out. So it's been way too tame. So these rituals, I do believe, happen. And then we see the effects of them afterwards. So hold on tight to God. Buckle up with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. Continue to pray, repent, fast, and everything's going to be all right. All right, I love you all. Have a great day.